It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manny back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, and Big Blue Kickoff Live is presented by Andrew Mark. You can listen on your Giants mobile app. You can go to your Google Play Store, your iTunes, or, of course, the BlackBerry app roll. And, of course, you can listen right here on Giants.com. It's archived as well. Go back and listen later. And this morning we're joined by Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How you doing? No players in the building? It's a little dull around these parts now.
We have the rookies in the building for, I guess, another couple days.
And then they run and the coaches run right after that.
The coaches have already run. They're out of here. Only the strength and conditioning coaches are left. And I guess you get scattered veterans in here. I read in the newspaper that Eli was here for a workout yesterday morning. But this place, after the rookies leave, is going to be pretty quiet for about 5 weeks.
He must have stopped by after his little Dunkin' Donuts appearance, I guess.
It was before his Dunkin' Donuts appearance, actually.
Ah, I see. Well, apparently, I was at that thing yesterday, Eli Manning signing, I think it was a 3-year deal with Dunkin' Donuts to be one of their sponsors. And, of course, Dunkin' Donuts, a good partner with us. They have their coffee in the lunchroom that everyone gets every morning. But we're always very excited about that. And it was a deal where you'd like to see, you know, Eli and the veterans still around, but at the same time, Michael, you want them to kind of get a little bit of rest and get away a little bit before training camp starts at the end of July.
I don't want to see them around. they had obviously a very long 2011 season, playing until February 5th. They had the full 9-week off-season program that you're allowed to have under the CBA. I think that they have deserved a rest, and it's really not that long. It's only, I think, 6 weeks, the final day of minicamp to when they report to training camp. So it's really, you know, the only big break they get all year. So it's well-deserved after winning the Super Bowl.
It is, and as the Giants try to repeat here, Mike, it's a very difficult thing to do. Teams don't do it often in the NFL. It's a very difficult thing to do, to come back a second year and repeat. And really the reason is that so many things just have to go your way. You can be the most talented team, the best team. That doesn't mean you're going to win. Just ask the Packers, who were a better team in 2012 than they were in 2011 when they barely made the playoffs. They win the Super Bowl in 2011, and they get knocked out by the Giants in 2012. So you really just need a lot of things to go your way in order to make that type of run.
I think you're a year ahead of everything. They won. They were the
2010. Yeah. You don't.
Well, yeah. Your point is well taken, and you know, as Coach Coughlin said often during the 2007 run, it's not the best team; it's the team that plays the best on any particular day. Packers played the best 15 times in a regular season, but not in their lone playoff game. And gee, who did they play that day?
Giants.
Hey.
And not the San Francisco ones. 201-939-4513. And also, Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll take your questions there as well. One of the topics we'll touch on today is the Giants offensive line. See how they're going to get configured, who you want where. You can give us a call, give us your opinions on that at 201-939-4513. Let's start with Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. A little bit of a different topic. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Tim?
Can James Brewer be a start at right tackle?
At this point, I don't think so. And I've talked to Pat Flaherty. He's just not ready. I mean, you're looking at a kid who did not play one snap last year as a rookie, and really because of the lockout had no off season, a quick training camp, a little bit of work in the preseason. As we mentioned, not one play in the regular season. He really didn't play that much in college either. So No, I don't think he's ready to be a starter in the NFL by any stretch of the imagination.
Talking to Jerry Reese and Mark Ross, I forget which one of the guys said it, but doing our interviews for our preseason shows last year for Giants training camp report, they kind of give a little scouting report on each guy the Giants drafted. And they described James Brewer in a way I'll never forget. It really was a great description. They described him based on his good feet and his size as a dancing bear.
Yeah. Well, he's got a... have a more aggressive attitude and hit a few people, but I don't think he's ready at all. I mean, he was playing left tackle for a while during the OTAs because Beatty wasn't in there, and then they took him out and put Sean Locklear on the first team. So I don't think Beatty's I don't think Brewer's going to play much this year.
And I imagine that's how the Giants are going to treat their two draft picks on the offensive line this year, McCants and Mosley.
Yeah, unless, you know, and there's an emergency. They have enough, I think, young veteran depth to bring them along. Both of them are, I think, projected more as contributors down the road, not for 2012.
Well, you talked about we talked about James Brewer at right tackle. Is that a position that you see in David Deal's back pocket right now? Is that the prohibitive favorite, the favorite? How do you see that right tackle position shaping up?
I don't – unless David Deal is injured – God forbid, in the preseason or in training camp, I don't see how he's not the starting right tackle. I mean, that seems to be the plan, Deal at right tackle, and assuming Beatty's okay to play left, I just think, to me, Deal is a lock for right tackle.
I tend to agree. I know there was some talk about, you know, obviously he played guard last year. He's very versatile. He could play a lot of different positions. But to me, for a guy, even when he was a left tackle, had issues here and there, not a lot, with some speed rushers, that quote-unquote, you know, weakness would get shielded a little bit on the right side because you don't have the same type of speed coming at you on the defensive line.
Yeah, I just think, to me, it's just a very interesting dynamic on the right side of the line. You have Snee and Deal there. That's 19 years of experience.
Yeah.
I don't know if any other team in the NFL has two linemen playing next to each other with a combined 19 years and really almost 300 regular season games at this point. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see how they play together.
And you got to love the fact that David Deal can get moved to the left side if you have to. William Beatty has yet to prove that he can stay healthy for an entire NFL season. From what you saw from him on the field last year, Michael, how close is he, if he's healthy, to being a starting every down caliber starting left tackle?
Beatty?
Yeah.
Well, he was. That's what he was before he got hurt. Is he a top shelf tackle yet? I don't think so. Can he develop? You know, again, I think he's got a, you know, he and Brewer kind of have that same mentality. They're kind of big, as you, teddy bear type guys, you know, not real aggressive, not real ferocious. I think they've got to develop the mean streak, both of them. I think Beatty's got to do that if he wants to become a top shelf tackle.
Now, last year, a lot of people pointed to, you know, David Boss wasn't there. The Giants ran the ball better. But to me, at least from the outside, and I have not looked at the stats on this, but it seemed once Beatty left tackle and they moved guys around and everything, it seemed like there was a little bit more push on the line and they were able to run the ball a little bit better. And I think Beatty's strength right now is certainly in pass protection and not in the running game.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think part of that was Booth got in there, and Booth did such a good job at guard. So, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, Beatty has had a back issue, did not participate in the mini camp. He says he'll be ready for training camp. If he's not, it'll be very interesting to see what the coaches do. You know, they couldn't move. You know, they had Locklear playing left side, but his best position is the right side. Perhaps they would move Deal back over to the left side and put Locklear on the right side. So I guess a lot depends on the health of Will Beatty, but he didn't seem at all anxious about missing camp time.
Now, we were both talking to Beatty in the locker room at the same time, and he basically said that we're treating this very conservatively because of where we are in the offseason. And he kind of made the point that they would be a little bit more aggressive with it if it was a regular season.
Yeah.
And he would probably be able to fight through it.
Yeah, and it is just a back issue from trying to come back too soon and a weight room thing. It's nothing to do with the eye or surgery that he had.
And the other tackle I want to talk about, you mentioned him a couple times already, and that's Sean Locklear. So nice to have a veteran like that that can play both sides and be so versatile. I mean, there isn't a better backup probably in the league at tackle than Sean Locklear.
Yeah, he started a lot of games. I think I don't remember exactly, but probably about 100 games in the league. Again, his the Giants feel that his better position is at right tackle, but he can certainly fill in on the left side if necessary.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Jeff's up in Rhode Island. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff. What's up, pal?
I'm not going to lie. I was one of those guys who was all down on the offseason last year. So, you know, I was very happy to put my foot in my mouth about that. But I got to say, I'm really disappointed on the Ballard thing. Can you kind of describe what went wrong possibly and, you know, what happened?
It's just one of those things. The Giants waived him thinking no one would claim him, and he got claimed. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a risk you take with an injured player. It didn't work out, and you move on. Look, I love Jake Ballard. He did great things here last year, but, you know, it's not like we lost, you know, John Mackey or Mark Bavaro now. I mean, this, you know, he's a solid tight end, but he's a guy with not much speed who's got a serious knee injury that's not going to play in 2012. With Martellus Bennett here, I don't even know if he would have been our number one tight end. If we can't replace a number two tight end, then, you know, we've got problems.
Yeah, I like Bennett a lot, to be honest with you. I just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I saw a lot in Ballard. I saw a strange and uncanny ability to get open for a guy, like you said, with not really much speed. And he had good hands. And, he's not Bavaro. I certainly have no disillusions about that. But I kind of liked him, and I was kind of disappointed.
Well, we all liked him. We were all disappointed. But, again, it's, you know, it in the big picture, I think Jake Ballard's replaceable.
Okay,
especially since he's not playing this year.
All right, Jeff, appreciate the call, man. I Michael, I think you make a great point in that Ballard, wasn't going to play this year anyway. And number two, I mean, if you're going to rank the starting NFL tight ends from last year, Jake Ballard's probably going to come in, I don't know, between around 20, something like that. I haven't actually done it.
Maybe,
but I figure somewhere in that area, and you should be able to figure out a way to replace somebody in that area. Granted, you hate to lose a guy like Ballard who can come back and help the team in 2013, assuming he can get that leg healthy, but this isn't something that's going to cripple the Giants this year. They already prepared to be without Jake Ballard anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I would be concerned, I really like Jake a lot, but for the long term, you got to wonder, as I said, a guy who really doesn't have a whole lot of speed to begin with, coming off a very serious knee injury, you know, how effective is he going to be?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I want to stick on the tight end position just a little bit longer since Jeff brought it up, and I'll jump back to the offensive line in a second. Martellus Bennett, it's always been a thing for him where he has the talent, hasn't been able to put it together, whether it's injuries, mental stuff, whatever it might be, off-the-field distractions, whatever. Were you concerned that he wasn't able to work at all in mandatory minicamp and a lot of the OTAs with that leg injury?
I don't know what the concern is the right word. It certainly wasn't good. I mean, you got a guy who's new to the system, new to his team, new to the quarterback, new to the offense. You want to get him in there and get him traveling down that learning curve. And he obviously didn't get to do that during the mini camp. You know, how much is that going to hurt? I guess we'll find out in July and August when we're in training camp, but yeah, there's no question that participating has to hurt him a little bit.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. How do you see the depth chart of tight end lining up behind Martellus Bennett? Because Travis Beckham's still not really a tight end, so I can't call him number two tight end because he's not a blocker. He's a guy they're going to split out wide in pass situations.
Yeah.
So how do you see that lining up behind Bennett?
You know, it's
wide open, right?
Wide open. I would guess you'd have to give the edge to Adrian Robinson only because they drafted him in the fourth round, and Jerry slapped that. Could be the JPP at his position label on him.
Jerry's going to regret that.
Yeah.
really is.
But I don't really, Ryan Purvis has played a little in the NFL. I don't know much about him. He made a few catches in the minicamp.
Hopkins is coming back from last year.
Hopkins is, really doesn't have much speed. He's a try-hard guy. If Travis Beckham is not ready to play, and as you said, he's not a traditional tight end anyway, and Adrian Robinson doesn't develop quickly, it's very possible that that second tight end is not currently on the roster. We may import somebody. So that's going to be an interesting – and look, Martellus Bennett is we don't know what Martellus Bennett can do because, as you mentioned, John, he didn't really participate much in the offseason program or in the mini camp. And, he's one of those guys because he was drafted high. and did, you know, showed some glimpses of production while playing behind Jason Witten. Everyone assumes he's going to step in. He's going to become a number one. Well, he's one of these. He's got to prove he can be the top tight end. Well, I fall off my chair. He's got to prove he can be a number one guy and produce that way, and he hasn't done that yet. You know, Jay, you and I both talked to Jayden Witten at the Nike uniform unveiling, and Jason Witten said, oh, he's going to be a real good player. Everyone, like, assumes he's going to be a real good player. He's got to go out and do it.
Yeah, he had opportunities in Dallas. They played two tight ends a lot, and he never really even had that breakout game, let alone a breakout season here or there.
Yeah,
so
his most productive year was his rookie year.
I know. So it's something that the Giants have to figure out. And frankly, Martellus Bennett will have to figure out. It's a one-year contract for him.
Right, exactly.
This is his prime money-making part of this guy's career. If he wants to, you know, cash in, this is the year.
Huge year. And, you know, there's questions about his weight now. So it's going to be I think training camp is as important for Martellus Bennett as it is for any other player.
Mike, Martellus Bennett has been rocking out all offseason. His weight's just fine.
Yes, well, okay, John.
I'm just quoting Martellus when I say that.
I feel better now that you've told me that.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Eric's down in Orlando. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Hey.
Nothing. I was just reading that sources are saying Percy Harvin wants to get a trade from the Vikings, and I was wondering if you guys think it would make any sense for the Giants to go for him as a punt returner or a number three.
Well, we're technically not permitted to comment on players on other teams, but obviously Percy Harvin's a very good player.
But the Giants do have a lot of depth at wide receiver, and quite frankly, Mike, just from this perspective, they have a lot of options finally, or at least they seem to. At I don't want to get ahead of myself here, at kick returner and punt returner, not just guys that can catch the ball, guys that can make plays.
Well, again, that's let's prove it. Let's see it first.
Exactly.
You know, it's certainly one facet of the Giants game that's been lacking for a long time is the explosive return man. You know, I've said this many times to you, John, that, you know, every week sit down with Coach Coughlin and we discuss the opposing team. And every week he says another team that has a dangerous return man. And I'm always sitting there thinking, why don't we get one of those guys? And maybe finally we do. Reuben Randall, maybe.
Now, Randall, to me, it's funny. You mentioned Randall on punts. He doesn't seem like the body type to me that would be that punt returner. It's not like that quick, twitchy, quick guy. He's more of the big strides.
You know, I agree with you, but I think back to 1996, which I realize a little before your time, when Amani Toomer was
15 years old. There you go.
Amani Toomer was a rookie, and Dan Reese stuck him back there to return punts. And all of us who were covering the team then said, how can you have Amani Toomer? He looks...
He's big and slow, right?
I look like more of a punt return guy. And Amani, I think, ran two back for touchdowns that year.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I believe he's got the record for the longest punt return in Giants history. So I would not be deceived by looks of a wide-receiving punt returner. So I think that Randall could be, you know, maybe be that guy. Jernigan has worked very hard, Gerald Jernigan. He would like to be a return man. He thinks he could be very good there. So, I do think... for the first time in a while that the Giants have real potential at the return positions, and I would not discount Dominic Hixon either.
All right, Eric, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. Also, David Wilson, chance to do kicks this year or no?
I would guess not, only because...
He could be darn good at it, though,
scary. I think he could be. I just think that...
too important on offense?
Too important on offense, especially with Ahmad Bradshaw's injury history. I don't think we're terribly deep at running back, and I don't think you really want to risk David Wilson doing that. That's just my opinion.
I would tend to agree, and that's generally how the Giants have done it, too. And we'll see about Akeem Nicks. If Reuben Randall all of a sudden is the Giants' second starting wide receiver, maybe you're not going to see him on special teams either.
Exactly.
For that exact same reason.
Yeah, and then our return game will...
Well, J-Ron Holsey can do it, though. Jernigan can do it. You got the other guys. And Dominic Hixon, of course, who I guess they probably just didn't put him back there in OTAs and minicamp because they know what he is.
Right.
Well, you know,
and
they don't
Scott
need to see
Ware
him.
Scott Ware can still return kicks. So
jump back to the offensive line here quick, Mike, before we say goodbye. Inside, David Boss is going to be the starting center. That's pretty much in the bag at this point. You would agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yes, John.
All right, and then Chris Knee, obviously, the other side. Now, some people like to say that they like Booth as a swing guy and start Petras. Do you think the Giants coaching staff is considering that because of Booth's versatility, or would you rather just start Booth, and if someone gets hurt, you can move him over then?
I talked to Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach, about this very subject, John. And
you're always on top of things, Michael. I expect no less.
He feels strongly that Booth's the best player at left guard. He's the best left guard right now. You play your best players. There's no reason to make him a swing guy. Why have a guy who plays at that level standing on the sideline? And the other point that Pat Flaherty made was that Kevin Booth really earned it with his play down the stretch. He started the last six games, including all four playoff games, at left guard. He played very well, and he earned the right to at least enter training camp as the clear-cut starting left guard.
How close do you think Mitch Petras is to making impact as a starter? Is he there yet? What is he missing? What does he have to do?
I don't know that he's missing anything. What does he have to do? He's got to beat out Kevin Booth at left guard. That's what he's got to do. And, Kevin Booth goes into training camp as the number one, as the starter, but it doesn't mean he's going to be playing there on September 5th. He's got to prove that he can do it. Although, frankly, with the limited amount of playing time that the starters get in the preseason, it's very hard for one of them to get beaten out, I think. You know, you just don't get enough of an opportunity, if that's the word, to play yourself out of a job.
And quite frankly, if Kevin Booth is anything, it's reliable and smart. So he's not going to make those big mistakes that are going to cost him a job.
Right, exactly. So I think Petras eventually will be a starter for this team, but I don't think it'll be the early part of the 2012 season.
Did you have a chance to talk at all to any of the players about going back to Albany this year and having training camp in upstate New York once again?
Yeah, I did. You know, they were they're kind of looking forward to it, believe it or not. They did not.
I don't.
they did not really like the training camp here for the fact that they're basically in this building for 12 hours every day.
And they just can't take it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, at least you're in Albany after lunch, you go back to your dorm room. It's a dorm room, yes, but you can, you know, take a nap, or you can relax, you can unwind a little bit, you know, you can go out, even run an errand somewhere, just get away from it for a couple hours. Here, you know, you're in this building. You get here at 7 in the morning and you're here till 7 at night and there's no break. And that's a long day for many consecutive days. Now, they also, you know, they're thinking about the schedule. We're practicing at 1 o'clock, 1:30 every day. You know, maybe they'll have some time in the evenings on their own. I haven't talked to many, but they were not as against it as you might think.
Now, I know guys like me and you, we love the 1:30 practice because that means, you know, we can finish your practice, you can write your stuff, we can do our videos, and, you know, we're done early evening.
Party in Albany,
yeah. Which is great. Exactly. But I imagine the players can't be thrilled that when it's, you know, we get those 98-degree humid days up in Albany that they're going to be on the practice field at 1 p.m.
No question about it, but really, John, how many 98-degree humid days do you get?
We're getting one today.
We're getting one today, but we're not but we're not in Albany.
That's true. That's a good point.
And, there are really very few very uncomfortable days in Albany. And I think the 1 o'clock having to practice at, you know, in the afternoon then, I think more than makes up for the players the fact that they don't have to do two practices in one day.
Do you have your tee times and Saratoga trips set up yet for Albany?
No, the first day off we get is a Tuesday. The track is dark on Tuesday. That's not good.
Oh, you look very upset about this, Michael.
I am. We only get 2 days off in Albany, and the track's closed for one of them.
What is a weekend day, if I'm not mistaken?
Sunday,
right? We're off on a Sunday, right?
Saratoga is tough on Sunday. You get huge crowds, but I'll have to bite the bullet.
I'm sure you can make some calls. You can get your little VIP box.
Oh, yeah.
You can hang out with the bigwigs.
That's me. I'll be right there in the barn with those guys.
All right, Michael, we appreciate the time as always.
Right.
Thanks a
lot.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Michael will be back with us on Giants.com on Thursday for another edition of Eisen's Mailbag, the video version. The written version was, of course, on yesterday. So should be a lot of fun, folks. We appreciate it. Of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by Andrew Mark. Comes your way Monday through Friday, 10 to 10:30, right here on Giants.com. Also on the Giants mobile app from your Play Store or from your iTunes and all that good stuff as well. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Be there.